I am going to be finishing out the Watchmen series, and a little bit of backstory on me. I am called to stand up here, which is funny because the devil is attacking hard, of course, as soon as I opened my eyes this morning. So I know I'm doing something right. So with this, we've kind of gone through every single little bit of what Watchmen is, how it's equipped, and what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to be finishing out, like I said, and we are just going to go right into it because I got a lot to say, God has a lot to say, and I'm ready. And if I stand up here anymore, I'm going to be a wreck. So, okay, we're going to go dive right in. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. I am not necessarily what you call like a Bible nerd, but I do have a lot of biblical knowledge, and that's really been the foundation of my faith and really where God has met me every single time. So when Richie sent me his notes, I was like, great. But I was like, Richie doesn't take notes, so I have no idea what this is going to say. So I'm not going to run back and forth, but I might be a little anxious when something hits me. So we're going to start in Hebrews 4:14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. When I read this, I was like, okay, high priest. If I don't have the knowledge of what that is, I'm going to keep reading. So when I was taught how to read the Bible, they said read in context, which means read before and after if you don't understand. So I kept going. So also Hebrews 5:1-2 says, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going to astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So thinking of that, obviously it's talking about Jesus, but now I'm standing up here, you have a lanyard on or anybody else, you are now set apart and you are called specifically to speak into those things. So the things that you've gone through, you have to then talk through your weaknesses. And that freaking sucks. Being vulnerable, yeah, that sucks. So we keep going into verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Again, talking about Jesus, we know every single bit that he had to endure to be able to get to where he is. But he had a specific calling. God sent him to us to endure the worst painful death, but to know that we have life and life more abundantly. And we can see that through his actual example. So again, skipping back down to verses 5 or chapter 5, 7 through 9. During the day of Jesus's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Sitting on that, he learned obedience from what he suffered. That speaks in itself. So from what I've suffered, what Malia was saying earlier, she's come from nothing. I've come from nothing. There's been days that pride was aside, but I sat in there and I didn't eat for multiple days because I only had $5 to feed my kids. Yeah, I prayed in that time, but that was something that I had to go through to then get to where I am now. So then speaking in our suffering and speaking in like, how would you know what love is if you didn't endure hurt? How would you know what joy is if you didn't go through that pain? So Jesus himself had to endure those specific things, because then when he died on the cross for us to be able to live and to be able to endure, he knew exactly what he was speaking to. He accepted the way that he went about it. He didn't go and just give in to what the enemy had said. And when he was in the desert and asked, the enemy was like, okay, I'm going to give you everything that you want. But guess what? He said, no, and I rebuke it. And I'm going to stand firm on what the Bible says, because that is our instruction manual. That is what God told us to do and with the way that he told us to walk. So if Jesus can do it, why is it so hard for us? He learned obedience from what he suffered. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that he may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That speaks for itself. God, I just welcome you into this place. I thank you for already being able to speak through me, God. Thank you for allowing me and everyone in here to endure our suffering. And today I just ask that you help us find a different perspective in that pain. If that's still where we are, if it's something that we have overcome, God, bring that to our forefront, God, and just reveal your plans for that midst. Today, just speak through me and allow me to hear every word that you have to say and be able to speak to your people, God. We ask that in your name. Amen. So I wrote it on here and Brock made fun of me this morning, but I put, I don't know what Richie had for you guys, but I'm letting the Holy Spirit speak through me and we shall see. So here we go. Because it's so true. So recapping again, like I said, this is the finale of Watchmen. So week one, Misty brought us in with a word up here, slinging fire. She just basically gave us the explanation of what a Watchman is and what we are called to do and how we are called to sound that alarm and be ready and willing when that attack comes to be able to speak and call on the people standing next to us, because that's what we are called to do. Week two, Pastor Richie started off and saying, affirm, confirm, and send. That is what God calls us to do through Isaiah 42, 5 through 7. Week three, he talked about D-Day. What is God coming after in, after you in your life right now? Which, you know. Week four, it may take some time. So it was a perfect leeway into that. You don't see it happening, but God is doing those things little by little. And so a lot of us, especially with this week, it really hit me hard, even though I wasn't even here. But it really hit me when I was going back and recapping, because what God has called us to, he will call us through. And that like rained in my head. It was like, you have to endure. And I'm in a season right now, it seems like it's not ending and I don't know where the end is. But little things like this has really come up to say, like, whatever you're going through right now, it's only temporary. But also when you're on that mountaintop, it's only temporary. So how you endure through that mountaintop time and like really staying close to that, but then it also depicts how you endure that valley time where you're like, God, I was on that mountaintop not long ago. And I know because your word stands that I will get to that mountaintop again. So week five goes in, he says, I saved you from that, but I'm sending you to this. God. Isaiah 6:8 is one of my life verses. And it says, God will send you and equip you along the way. And Isaiah stood there and said, here I am, God, send me. And here we are. Let's go. So now you are blessed with my presence to close out this finale. And here we go. All right. So number one, you're right. Let me start by saying this. I am not a three-step kind of person, so I don't understand when pastors have 3 points in their sermons and like, okay, one and two and three, I'm going to give you 3 life applications and this is what you're going to do and you're going to live it out and it's going to be great. I don't know what that means. And Richie had notes, so I'm going with it. But as I was praying about it, it just kind of really struck me. And you'll understand why in a second. So point number one is you're right. You're right to feel the way that you do. You're right to be able to cry. You're right to have emotion. What you're not right to do is to lash out. You're not right if you're not repenting. You're not right in saying that somebody else is wrong for the same thing that you're going through. You're right in feeling that way. You're right in thinking that way. You're right that freaking sucks, because it does. But you're not right in staying there. Jesus paid it all. In each lash out, this is what smacked me in the face this morning. I was going through the book of John where Jesus was about to be crucified. And I was like, God, what does that mean? Like at that time, Jesus literally could have given up. He could say, no, not doing this. But instead he said, this cup is too heavy for me to bear. But God, if this is your will, help me. And in that time, after he's being flogged and then crowned with thorns, he still endured. At that time, Jesus could have said, this is too much. I don't want it. And he did, but instead he picked it back up and he kept on going. And so you are right. You're right in feeling that way. You're right in enduring. You're right that life just happens sometimes and it's not fair. But there is a reason that God has put you there. There's a reason that God divinely picked you to go through those exact scenarios that you're going through. Because when you overcome those specific things, on the other side, there's going to be somebody who is enduring that exact season and needs you to speak to them. And that is what we are called to do. We are called to bring that light constantly, no matter where we are. So when you have a bad day and you wake up like Malia did and she's getting attacked from the time she opens her eyes, or the same with me when the enemy is coming in and telling me, hey, you're not enough. You're not going to deliver that message today. Nobody's going to be set free. I don't even know why they asked you to stand up. Guess what? I'm going to counter it and say, I'm equipped and called by God to stand up here. You are called to bring a message today and bring the joy of Jesus. You guys are all called to be here and endure that. So you're going through hard times. You're going through a divorce or with Carl Lentz and going through his stuff and all that that goes into. Instead of saying, wow, he's a person that stands up for God and he's on this platform and this platform and this platform. And guess who put him on that platform? God called him and equipped him to be a worship leader or a pastor. And we put him on a pedestal in our life. So when he failed because he's only flesh, we now ridicule him and crucify him when God said, no, love him the same. Pray for him in that heart. You have no idea why he did that. Or anybody else who's going through the same thing. But instead, because we as Christians don't always reflect that what Jesus does, we then look at them and judge them as if we didn't already have that same. The Bible says when you do that, take the log out of your own eye. because you can't see your neighbor the way that God sees them. And that should be our number one prayer as those of faith, to love our neighbor as ourselves, one, but two, to also see them and love them the way that God loves them, even if we don't want to. A.W. Tozer says it this way: most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. I could drop the mic right there. I didn't even say it. Whoa. But how true is that? So you're right. But you're right in saying that, hey, yeah, this is great. This sucks, whatever else. But once God calls you out of it, you need to get out of it. He didn't call you to get out of it to pick it back up. Point two, open up your mouth. Okay. I almost pulled a Misty on this one. Proverbs 18:21. We all know it. We could love it and we can hate it. But the power of life and death is in our tongue. That's not speaking only to the person next to you or whoever else is around you. That's speaking to yourself. When that gives immediate leeway into the enemy being able to just use that those small things and manipulate you in such a big way. To say those things about yourself when God has already called you and appointed you and set you apart when before your mother even formed you in the womb. So you're now slapping him in the face because it's like, your promises are true, God, but I just don't see it in my life. When you put that but on it, you take away what God's promise is on your life. The stakes are very high. Your words are either speaking life or your words can speak death. Our tongue can build others up or they can tear them down. An unchecked fire doubles in size every minute we choose to go against that. What you say about your neighbor, what you say about your friends, what you say about yourself, it matters. It matters because of exactly what Scripture says. You can either build somebody up in true life and love, or you can tear them down. In my own personal life, it is so true. When Brock and I, or if I'm arguing with my kids, or really any situation, when I'm hot and I'm ready to attack, I can walk in that because the enemy is so quick to easy to say that you're just do it. Just say whatever you want. It doesn't matter anyway. Just walk in it and act in it. You can ask for forgiveness later. That one hurt. But who are we called to be, church? How are we called to act and stand? And this is convicting even myself right now. Parenting, it's freaking hard. Gosh. I've never said freak so much in my life. But it's true. I'm like about to run out of this building like Richie does. But it's so true. When you open up your mouth and anything that you say, you have the power to take someone's entire calling away because they're not yet sturdy on where they are. But you also have that same power to be able to equip them, again, through your scars or just with your words. And honestly, church, the way that we respond to people is the way that we see ourselves. The way that we respond to people is the way that God, that you see yourself and the way that God does not see you. So you're allowing the enemy to speak through you in that moment. And how do you think you look? If somebody was to come up to you and you were to have a conversation in the heat of your chaos in the middle of the day, and they asked you a question and you respond, would they be going to heaven because of you? Those thoughts are fuel to the enemy's tactics, to his manipulation. And we can go back all the way to where Eve was. Did God really say? Be rooted. That is so, so crucial. So how that looks is waking up every morning. You don't want to get up in the morning and read your Bible? Jesus didn't want to die on the cross? Yeah. Let's be serious for a second, you know? I got stabbed in the heart. Y'all are about to get stabbed too, okay? It sucked. But seriously, being rooted looks like discipline. Submission, the cuss word for females, okay? That is true. But reading your word, you don't know how to read it? Ask somebody. Somebody will help you. You don't want to talk to that person? You better ask God to speak through you. When you're sitting at a red light and God says to that homeless person, hey, get out of your car and pray for them. Are you going to do it? Pray for that person when they're checking out your groceries. Or when you're picking up your coffee at Starbucks. Or when your kids are literally screaming, stop and pray for them. Pray with them. Yeah, I got wrecked. I'm just relaying the message. So you're right. Open your mouth. And this last one is going to be a little lengthy, which is why I saved it for the last. When Richie sent it over to me, I saw that the 3 points were obviously what we just went over. And then the last one was authority. And that isn't necessarily something that I fully struggle with, but it's definitely a struggle. Obviously, there was a pride there. I couldn't even admit it. But you have the authority. So sitting on that, you have the authority. You have the authority to walk with God, to walk away from God. You have the authority to walk in what the word says or walk in what the world says. You have the authority to write your steps or remain where you are. So I find it really hard when people come to me and they're asking for continued prayer or continued word, or they need this or they need that. And I'm like, okay, I'll pray with you continually. But then it comes to a point where they're coming to me with the same thing and the same steps, and they're still not doing the next thing. Like Pastor Richie, when he said that he was counseling, which we would know how that goes, and he says, well, are you loving God? Do you have quiet time? Do you have a community around you? Are they praying with you? What do you do then? Do you go out and serve and help? No? Okay, well, what do you think is going to happen? So something that really struck me is 2 years ago, I was in India, and I would have stayed in India if God did not tell me to come home. I was literally about to sell my entire life and send for my son. At the time, I only had one. But I was going to send for my son, and I was going to stay there. I really felt like I was called to be there. Seeing people like actual lepers in these villages, and they were completely discounted. There's others who had autism. I saw a lady with 2 left feet. I saw like just the craziest, anything that you would see like in the Bible and the Old Testament, I saw with my bare eyes. So I didn't want to come home to this. I didn't want to come home to all of like the freedom and everything that we have and have to like endure it, because I'm so rich in the sense of having things and that freedom. And these people are fighting for their lives and fighting for the things that we take for granted every single day. And I was like, God, I can't go home. I can't. There's no way you've called me to be in America. But how do you have this city girl, for lack of better words, looking at me in India? But that was true. That was where my heart was. And every time I go on a mission trip, so I've been to 5 different countries, I have a goal for each country. Generally, it's food, but this one was, I wanted to see elephants. I was so excited because they had safaris all over the place, and there was monkeys that would literally dig in your purse and like steal stuff from you. I guess they're trained by crazy people, but I wanted to see elephants. So I kept badgering them every single day, and I was like, I want to see elephants, I want to see elephants. Apparently, elephants there are actually like really horrible, and they ransack villages and stuff, so they're like, we're not going to take you to see an elephant, they're going to kill you. But I was like, no, we have to see an elephant. And when I want something, I'm very persistent. I will pray about it later. It's one of those things. I'm working on it. But we finally went on a safari, and I got to see these elephants. But we were here in this some type of car. Think of a safari. That's what it looks like. But less windows and less safety. And the elephants were all the way up at the top of the mountain in these, like, I guess it would be like a compound type thing. And they had, like, chains on them. And I'm thinking, how do you hold an elephant with like a dog collar and a metal like leash basically into the ground, and they don't run away? So I'm like, how is this elephant gonna ransack a village? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I asked the tour guide, hey, this elephant looks seamless, can I just pet it? I want to love it. And they're like, no, it's absolutely horrible, whatever. So I said, okay, well, why can't I do that? And he went through this story that tore me to shreds. He said, as elephants come into their habitat, they are like, I don't know what a small elephant is called, a baby elephant. And so they then put into these cage, like a dog cage, and they are restricted into this cage. And that's how they live for the first year that they have them. So they're fully in captivity. They're fed in this cage that is too small. And that's it. And as time goes on, after that year passes, they take off one side of the cage at a time, where the elephant still stays exactly where it is because it's restricted from what it was binding. So after X amount of years, they then take off the whole border of the cage, and the elephant stays in that cage just like this. And I was like, wow, that's traumatizing. Like, why would you think that? And they're like, well, that's just the way that it is, that they're just held captive in this thing. And the people that are over them, they're holding them captive in this cage. So when they're finally released, they have no idea what to do. Does that sound familiar? So for us, the enemy has kept us in this cage of lies. And he's released us, and God has freed us from every single bit of that cage. But we're still in bondage, even though it's not there. So you have the authority. God gave you the authority specifically. But the same power that rose Christ from the dead is within us. But if we are in that bondage, how do you expect to get out? If a giant elephant that can ransack a village can be held captive, what about us? So now, in that same authority, God's released us from that cage, all of it. But what are you holding on to that's keeping you right there? So you have the authority to speak life and death into yourself. Speak life over what God has set you free from. And don't keep asking him to set you free from something he's already set you free from. Take off the bondage that the enemy tried to keep you captive. And you're like, God, free me. And he said, I already did. Get up and walk. Go away. So then I was thinking, obviously I can't have an elephant, but I would like one. So then I was talking with him, and that's immediately what came to my mind. But what came to my mind also aside from that is, as Jesus endured the things that he did, and every time that he was flogged, and the crowns that were placed on his head, the crown of thorns, I named every single bit of them. I named the flogging, all the scars on Jesus, me sleeping around, being a victim, whatever else I've gone through, just smoking and drinking and running away from God, hanging out in strip clubs, working at Wing House, having two kids out of wedlock, anything that anyone could ever say about me, I believed in myself. And if I was to stay in that bondage where the enemy thought that it was going to happen, every person that spoke those lies about me, I would not be standing up here today. So I've then released that bondage from me and allowed God to truly free me from that, to be able to birth a ministry such as Overcome so other people can be free from that. But now my question stands for you guys. Are you ready to open up your mouth and have the authority to just stand out of what the enemy is trying to keep you captive in? And I don't know what that is, but you do. And so does God. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Struck me hard. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light is to you. So in that, throughout this whole sermon series, the video that's come up a lot, literally ending every single bit of this, has these words on it. It says, watch and pray. Watch and pray over your life. Stand as a watchman on the guard of your heart, on the guard of your life, on the guard of your calling. And pray fervently. That's what our scripture says. Pray fervently that Jesus went to God for every single thing. Stay vigilant, persistent, persevere through every single bit of trial and tribulation. Stay vigilant. Stay alert. If you are not in your word, how easy is it for the enemy to come in and say all of these things about you and you say, but did God really say? Proclaim. Proclaim the name of Jesus. Proclaim the blood of Jesus over your life, over the people around you, over the people that you care about. Doesn't it matter that those people might not be in heaven with you? Those people that you talk to every day, like Sean said earlier, have you talked about your testimony to them? Have you even talked about the name of God to them? For me, that's a conviction of my own life with my family. Like, I know that God has done a work in me, but he's also called me to stand in the gap for my family. He's called me to stand and break those generational curses, not just for me and my kids, but for what is going on right now. My professor, Pastor Ralph of Grace Family Church, told me this semester. He said, "You are the product of prayer, where your grandma was calling and asking, or your grandma was praying basically to God and asking God to send somebody to save his family. Why do you think that you're the only saved person in your family?" So heck, that's a lot of weight on my shoulders. But I want to be able to go to the pearly gates of heaven when my time is done and God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You can walk through these pearly gates of heaven," instead of saying, "Be gone. I didn't know you." Because I didn't answer to something that made me uncomfortable. And we're not called to be comfortable, church. We're called to stand up and be in that gap. We're called to vigilantly, persistently be in prayer and love God the way that he loves us, no matter how bad it hurts. You think that flogging hurts? You think what they said about you hurt? But how would that feel? How would it feel if you've lived your whole life doing exactly what the church has asked you to do, but you did not do what God calls you to do? So when you go to heaven at the end of your day and God says, "I'm sorry, I didn't know you," how do you think that's going to feel? Stand firm. Stand firm on the word of God. If it is not of this, it is not from God. If it confuses you in any way, it is not of God. If it does not align with the word of God, it is not of God. I say that and I swear I'm speaking to myself on this whole message, guys. I swear I am, man. But standing firm in this means you're going to do those hard things. You're going to say the hard things. The mission of this church, do hard things. Be on guard. The Bible says, guard your heart, for it is deceitful. But be on guard against, if the enemy can't get to you, he's going to get to somebody around you. If the enemy can't get through me or to Brock, constantly, he's always trying to get to my kids. And I am one to say that I have not fought the way that I should for my kids. And I have to face that, and I have to be in prayer about that every single day. Because when I go home to heaven and my kids are not going to be there to meet me, I failed. Be on guard, whatever that looks like, in your workplace, in your, I always say the Starbucks because I'm just obsessed. If anyone wants to fuel my Starbucks, please do. But in like your barista or at the grocery store, the things that we go to every single day, there has been times where I've been at a red light and God said, "Just speak to that person right there." And I'm like, "God, it's a red light. It's about to turn green." But really, I'm counting the sidewalk on the crosswalk where it says 5, 4, 3. I'm like, "Please turn green. Please turn green." But then what? What if that was the last time and something happened later that day and that person now is never got to hear the voice of Jesus or never got to hear the word of Jesus, or you have no idea what they're going through to be able to speak to them? After the Overcome event, we ended up having extra Chick-fil-A. And so we ended up taking it to the streets on Nebraska, close to where I live. And we ended up meeting a bunch of homeless people. So there was this guy named Dennis. And he said that like he was in prison for a while and he should still be locked up for life. And for whatever reason, he's out. In my head, I'm like, "Hey, there's God, whatever." But we're going to keep going. So as he kept going, he was like, "I just used the last $2 of the money that my brother spent me. And I spent it on checkers just like a minute ago. And we brought him Chick-fil-A." And he starts crying. He's like, "I can't cry. The streets can't cry. They can't see me cry all hard, whatever. It doesn't mean anything." But for him, he was like, he actually felt like the presence of God. You can tell in his demeanor and the way that like Brock had prayed with him and how we loved him and just listened to him, that he was like, "Yeah, I should be locked up." And we said, "But you're not. God needs you to do something on these streets that you couldn't do in there." "Well, I'm homeless. I'm sleeping on the sidewalk." I don't know how you feel, but I know that every single step of your life, God is equipped for a reason. And if you look at it like you're always the victim, you will never come out on top. So be on guard. Sound an alarm. That's what watchmen do. If there's anything coming out, any of the towers, the castles, whatever they do, they sound an alarm to let everybody know that you guys need to be ready for battle. You guys need to stand up next to me. We're going to fight, whatever. So sound an alarm. What does that look like for us? Sound an alarm. "Hey, I'm getting attacked right now. Hey, Misty, I'm struggling with pornography and I really want to open this website. I need you to talk to me." For me personally, that was something that I struggled with, that I didn't tell anybody. And I said, "I just have that issue." And for like lust, that was obviously a really big thing for me. I say obvious because I have two kids, but that's something someone's spoken to me. A shadow's peeping out, sorry. But Woo! Caught myself. But for any of those things, I don't know what you guys go through. I don't. But I know that on a constant, I will leave my phone on for anybody who calls me at any time. My door is open for anybody who shows up at any time, no matter what that looks like. And especially now having overcome, it's something that I face constantly for sounding an alarm. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with that ability to be able to speak into anything. Sometimes I feel like it's a curse because it's a constant, but I have to counter that and say, God, thank you for allowing me to be somebody that somebody can come to. Sound that alarm. If you are going through something, no matter how dirty it is, somebody has already gone through it and somebody needs you to get out of that to be able to speak to them. Sound the alarm. Whatever that looks like in your life, whoever it is around you, I bet that you know somebody, if somebody tells you something, that you can say, hey, I know this person that's been through that. Let me connect you guys. And how you respond to that, or if it's something that you've been through, I swear God wrecks me sometimes. And he's like, especially that pornography one or masturbation, just being vulnerable and transparent with you guys. That sucked, but here we are. Somebody came to me and had that issue. And that was the first time I was able to be able to speak and say, hey, this is what I did to get over it. And it sucked, but it was like, okay, in that moment, I was then set free of something I didn't even know that I still had. Because I prayed for years, God, let this lust go, let this pornography, whatever I was trying to get out of it, or being like all these other people in comparison and whatever the word is that you want to look like everybody else, whatever. But it was in that moment that God brought somebody alongside me and they were vulnerable enough to speak to me. And I then had to be vulnerable enough to go through a scar and say, this is how I did it. I will stand next to you until that prayer request becomes a praise report. And I was then set free from it. So that can happen in your guys' life. And I know that now that I said it out loud, it's going to happen. So be ready and remember that I said this, because you're going to be like, that Genesis. And I will listen to you when you call me and complain about that, because it is okay. And I will say, well, what did God say? And lastly, what the video says every single week, it says, church, get on watch. We are now called, equipped, and being sent. We are affirming, we have been confirmed, and we are now being sent to be able to get on our post and stand guard and get on watch. God, I just thank you for the words that you spoke through to me today. I pray that it just penetrates the hearts of people that are in here, God, for them to go out and be sent, God. I thank you for the way that you use every person in here, God, for this must not be something that goes through their ears, Lord God, but be something that resonates in their heart in their quiet time, God. I pray that this week that we are challenged, God, that you speak to us differently, God, in our quiet time and in that time we set apart just for you, Lord, that you expose those things where the area is trying to keep us in our cage. God, I declare freedom over every person that is in here of whatever that bondage is, Lord. I pray that we are able to stand up and realize that you've already freed us from the cage that the enemy has us in. That we are able to walk taller and stronger and fervently after you and after your people, God. That we are not here just to hang out and be a part of the world, Lord God, but we are here to truly be sent and walk in the calling that you have called and specifically appointed us in the womb, God. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you are doing now and what you are about to do, God. I pray that next week as we come together, Lord, that there is going to be a multitude of praise reports of the way that we were able to be used and available to you, God, that we are mere vessels just being able to go out, God. I thank you for this word and I thank you for this church, God. We ask this all in your name. Amen.